Our epistle for this Feast of All Saints is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7, verses 2 through 12. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead." I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed, out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round about the throne and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you in speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. All the holy saints of God, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Feast of All Saints. It's amazing to me when I see how the church has set up the liturgical year, how she places strategically certain feasts and events to help us to prepare for things. For example, the Feast of All Saints and the commemoration of All Souls is placed at the beginning of the last month of the liturgical year. As you know, the liturgical year ends with the last Sunday of Pentecost, the Saturday of the last Sunday of Pentecost. And then we begin the next liturgical year, which is Advent. But But in this last month, Holy Mother of the Church starts to encourage us to look at our end, to look at our purpose, to look at our vocation of life. Not our particular vocations, as this person is married and that person is single or this person is a religious, but the vocation we all have in common, and that is to be a saint. We are called to be saints. We are called, invited by Christ, to be members with his mystical body and to share membership with a unique group. Here we are reminded of the mystical body of Christ in a unique way, in that today we celebrate the saints that have made it to heaven already. And tomorrow we're going to commemorate the saints who will make it to heaven soon, but they're in a place to be purged of impurities which keep them from heaven. And therefore we are then reminded of ourselves, where we come from. We are members of the mystical body of Christ. We are meant to follow the footsteps of those who have made it. We are not meant to aim for purgatory. Too many people aim for purgatory. And if you do, and your aim is a little off, the ramifications are unimaginable. No, we have a soul to save. Nay, not just save, we have a soul to sanctify. We're called to be saints. We celebrate the saints that have gone before us and think of the number of saints. Everybody has their own particular favorites, the knowledge of the different saints. Far too often, I think we do an injustice to the saints in that we put them on a high pedestal, one that's not attainable. And we forget to remember that they're human. They have frailty. They have weakness. But they had grace and they made use of the grace. They have the same grace you and I have. Because they have the grace of Christ. They made the same decision you and I have to make. They made the right decision. Interesting, if you take a look at the Sundays that are approaching, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, Holy Mother of the Church uses epistles and gospels that are kind of there to remind us of our purpose. For example, today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, which we commemorate. And it talks about how our Lord has begun a good work in us. And this good work needs to be brought to perfection to the day of Christ Jesus. What's the day of Christ Jesus? Well, it's the day of judgment. And St. Paul continues, "In this I pray that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the better things." What are the better things? Other than this world, those are the better things. The better things are those that are of heaven and of God. From time to eternity, not in time for time's sake. Not the momentary pleasure. that you may be upright and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of justice through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This was St. Paul's prayer for the Philippians, same prayer that he prays for all Christians and hopes for us. That we approve of the better things. These things are really important to us. Not just something we hear of once a week. In order to value them, make good use of them, profit by them, become holy, to become a saint. The gospel for today's Sunday is the gospel about where the Pharisees, now paint this picture for a moment. The Pharisees, who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the ones who had studied the law. They had studied the prophecies. It was their job to know who the Messiah was. And yet in the Gospels we see the Messiah in their midst. And what are they doing? At that time, the Pharisees went to took counsel how they might trap Jesus in his talk. Politics. They're playing politics. With who? The Messiah. With Christ. With God made man. You can't play politics with Christ. You can't play politics with the ways of Christ. Morality. What is the law? What isn't the law? The divine law. Too many people are trying to do that today and they're not happy. They might have their momentary victories, but all they are doing is walking in opposition to their Savior and their Lord. You can't play politics with Christ. Christ isn't about politics. Christ is about with me or against me. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. So they sent to him a group and they're asking him, Master, we know that thou art truthful and that thou teachest the way of God in truth and that thou carest not for any man and that thou dost not dare to regard the person of men. A lot of fluff. These people came to trap our Lord and yet they're patronizing him, trying to stroke his ego. They don't know who they're talking to. So after this little introduction, they asked him, tell us therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? Politics. Is it lawful for us to pay tax? The horns of a dilemma. If he says yes, it's lawful, then they say he's for the Romans. If he says no, they can go to the Romans and say, look, and he's trying to cause people to revolt, to rebel, to have a protest. And what does Christ say? But knowing their wickedness. See, Christ knows. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our mind. He knows what's in our soul. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows if we're with him or if we're against him. If we have gathered with him and truly follow him or we're following something other than that. Popularity, other people, self-will. But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Then he asked to see a coin of the tribute. And they showed him a coin. And on the coin there was an image and inscription of Caesar. And Christ asks, Christ knew what the inscription was and who the image was of, but he asked to teach them a lesson. Whose image is on this? And whose inscription? And they said, Caesar's. Christ said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, I always think of this quote when I have a baptism. I just had a baptism yesterday. Because at baptism, on the soul of an individual when the person is baptized, there's an indelible mark placed on them. They become a child of God. Just like a coin is marked with the seal of whoever's ruling at the time or the country that it represents, it's sealed. Your soul has been sealed when you were baptized. Today in the Apocalypse, we talk about the 12,000 sealed. We're talking about those that have been sealed by Christ. We have been sealed. There's an indelible mark also given at confirmation and another at the priesthood for those who are called to be ordained. Indelible marks. Marks that will never leave you. Take a look at your indelible mark and remember who you belong to. And render to him what you ought to render to him. Your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, all your strength. The love you owe the Heavenly Father who has loved us so much. That's how we pass this test called life. And we're able to realize our true goal, which is to be with God in heaven, with all the saints, praising him forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.